You're listening to the Smart Women in Business podcast, episode number 48.
Hello, you're listening to the Smart Women in Business podcast. My name is Jane Mackay, and on this show, we talk to smart women in business all over the world about starting, building, and creating the life and business of your dreams while having incredibly honest, in-depth, and rich conversations with amazing women in business who will inspire you to become a smart woman in business.
Hello and welcome to the Smart Women in Business vlog and podcast. I'm your host, Jane Mackay from Jane Mackay Communications, marketing consultant and coach who works with people across the world to build the business of their dreams. Today, it is my great pleasure to talk to Nikki and Ness from Business Together, aka B2. Nikki and Ness are two savvy businesswomen who have come together with a shared vision, bucket loads of passion, and a burning desire to make a difference. They truly believe, as women in business, together we're smarter and stronger. With an instinctive curiosity for human behavior, over 20 years of experience in sales and leadership, and having each run their own successful coaching businesses, Nikki and Ness, B2, are all about helping people grow and achieve results in both business and life. I'm very excited to welcome you to the show. This is my first... I won't say it. Three person.
I love Pod. It.
Oh, we've lost. Oh, she's back. All right. We had a frozen Nikki there for a minute. So I love this. You've come together. You've got your shared vision. So tell me about your business journey and how you got to where you are right now.
Ness, sure. I'll get you to kick off.
Yeah, sure. So Nikki and I did a long time ago, we trained together as coaches when we were doing our professional coaching course. So we met back then and just have stayed in touch and followed each other's journeys over the last few years. And we were probably at a stage in business where we were looking for a mastermind group. And we just, it was like Goldilocks, you know, you just can't find the thing that's quite right for you. They're either too big or too small or not our people. So Nikki rang me up and went, hey, do you want to like just get together and do accountability and masterminding? And we ended up in Noosa at the beginning of 2020. The last trip I ever had. We were over a bottle of champagne just having a chat around, you know, if you could do anything in the world, what was it you would love to do? Because we both worked in quite male-dominated industries, which was fine. We loved our clients. But, you know, my calling, and I'll let Nikki speak for herself, but I'd done some work over in America where I had presented to a group of business people and just on the topic of letting go of your old story and really stepping into who you could truly be. And it was the women in that group that really resonated with it, and it meant something to them, and it started a transformation. And I just thought, I would love to just work with women in business and really find a way to help them succeed. And so I'm sitting there telling Nikki around, you know, I just probably haven't got the courage to do it, but I'd love to do this. And she was like, oh my God, I would love to do that too. And that's really the seed of how we came together. And I'll let you expand on that, Nick, and share a bit of your...
Yeah, I think that that's such a great representation, and it's so lovely actually to hear that and go back on the journey. So thank you, Jane. Great question. And I think the only thing I'd add to that as well is for me, what I found in my business, although it was really successful, great clients, there was something missing. We often talk about, Ness and I often talk about, live your legacy now. Don't wait until it's too late. Don't wait till we're not around to live our legacy. Like, great, what legacy can we leave? But, you know, and that was missing for me in my business, particularly around COVID, and, you know, life happens and there's health issues and people are sick, like all that sort of stuff. You think, why am I doing this? What's my purpose in this? So creating that legacy business and then finding someone so savvy and passionate like Ness to do it with was just the cherry on top.
I love it. I love it. So this evolution brought together, obviously, your shared passion and skills. I mean, tell me about your journey, your respective journeys of how you came to settle on this skill set that you wanted to deliver to the broader, like the value that it brings. Because I know it can be so transformational, but a lot of people outside the coaching space don't understand really how it works. So enlighten us, please.
Oh, you can start on this one, Nick.
Okay. It's such a good question, because what we also found is that the thing about Ness and I is we have such a strong set of core values and reason as to why we do what we do. And our experience is somewhat similar, but also very unique. So what we really look at is, I focus on sales and business growth coaching. My experience over the last two decades has been in sales and leadership.
But you started so young. No.
But I was a baby. I was five years old. So young. Isn't that the age that we stay at eternally? 25?
Yeah, totally.
The sales, and the thing about that for me personally was also around, I had such a successful career in sales, and then moving and leading big sales teams, small sales teams, and I didn't actually realize how much people shy away from sales, how many business owners, and especially women, like this has been the journey around, oh, okay, people actually need this support with sales, which is why I did my previous business, sales and leadership. Oh, wow, women in business really, even more so in a way, because, you know, we're all about breaking cycles and it's embracing a different energy. So sales and business coaching and transformational coaching around NLP and EDISC, you know, it's really what's huge for us is about understanding what are the gaps in business and then what are our natural drivers and intuitive ways of approaching things, thinking, seeing things in the world. And then how do you put the two together so that we know how to close those gaps in business in a way that feels good, that's authentic. So that's kind of my, you know, the sales and business. And then Ness is the money management, money mindset guru, expert. She'd hate that I said that, by the way. She's very humble, very, very humble. But she's the money management person. So I'll hand over to you, Ness, to share more about that.
Thank you for that. And I think it was, you know, when we came together, we knew that we were both great coaches and we could create great success for our clients and help them to progress their careers and sales and so on. For me, I guess the transition was quite a bit bigger in that from leadership coach to really stepping in and owning my knowledge, my experience and my skills when it comes to money and just my passion for it and being able to work with women, you know, because it is the one big element of business around managing money. Yes, you've got to make money, but your management of that can be the difference between a business with a really high turnover but no profit and a business with a turnover that doesn't burn you out that provides a large amount of profit. So stepping in and owning that has been a little bit more of a leap for me to sort of like be in this space that to say, I actually have something to give here. And it is, you know, love the word pivot, but it's not just around saying, you know, all of my experience in leadership has been about we are leading ourselves. We are leaders of our own businesses. There's so much to bring with that. But specializing in the mindset around money and then the systems that help you manage money within business is just something that lights me up and excites me because, as Nikki said, you know, we're about breaking cycles. And for me personally, that means breaking the cycles of never discussing money as a child. Like our family, it was very private and secretive.
Yeah, I don't know. And it was a bit uncouth. Yeah. We don't talk about money. We don't talk about money at all because it's not manners. And it's weird because it is the cornerstone, like cash flow is the cornerstone of business. It makes or breaks a business because you can have, as you said, a really high revenue but very small profit. And, you know, making a difference in women's lives. Like, so my whole raison d'etre, excuse the horrible French accent, for creating this podcast was to inspire women who might be in horrible financial situations or feel financially trapped that you can start a business. Anyone can start a business. Take the right steps, get the right guidance, follow the right coaches, and try to make good decisions. And yeah, you'll make mistakes because we all do. Just go back and watch my early YouTube videos. But to say you can, and there are other women who've been through the journey as well. And there's so many women who are out there and willing to help you. So
100%. And I think for us, it's you know, it's about breaking the cycles in business. It, you know, it's like the shame that came around money. When I was married, I have an ex-husband and he's taught me so much, which is brilliant. But he used to shame me around my desire to, you know, balance books and work out where our money was at and try to make sure that, you know, we had enough. And I think that that's a story that some women will resonate with, and that control that he brought to that money management, or probably that just that influence, because it was so important to me for security, and especially once we'd separated and I was like single mumming or share caring mum and running a business. And it was like, you know, it's so important, because what it does when you really get your head out of the sand and start focusing on, I've got a business, you know, I can bring money in, but how do I manage it? And that's empowering, to know that you've set yourself up financially for the future. And I guess where Nikki and I collide is around that whole thing around, we bring our own skills base to that, but we also are strong believers in prioritizing life. And we both have our own experiences that we bring to that as well. So that's what we share with women.
And boundaries.
What are they?
Absolutely. Saying no.
Mm. Yeah, no is a complete sentence.
It is. Mm. Yes. Mm. Saying no to certain things is just as important as saying yes to certain things.
Well, it's the whole thing of what you're saying no to allows you to say yes to the things that you really love.
Yes.
100%. So how do you manage your respective lives as busy entrepreneurs, one in Queensland living the life, thus in lockdown? No, we're not in lockdown anymore, but yes.
I know. It's actually a really interesting time with that as well. You know, it's so... I mean, it's an interesting world that we live in. And one thing I'm so grateful for is technology. So Ness and I, it was January, I think, 2020, when we started this conversation over the bottle of champagne. And in that time, other than that time, we've seen each other once in person. That's it. Yet we've managed to create this amazing thing. We see each other multiple times a week. And what's also really interesting, what's come out of that, and one of the things that I love, is that Ness and I are such individual different people. So how we manage our lives as entrepreneurs, again, there's some commonality, but it's a uniqueness. And I think that's really important for anybody who's listening or watching. You know, Jane does it this way, I have to do it that way, or Nikki does it, or Ness does it. And that's, you know, a really great and I think important point. So for me, things like, I don't start work till 10 a.m. Yes, I give you permission if that's right for you, but it's not right for everyone. I don't have kids, I have fur babies. So, you know, but I have a thing called sacred mornings where I take the pressure off. I used to have a to-do list for my sacred mornings. I had used to have a checklist for my meditation. And then I thought, what the? That's the opposite. This is not what it's meant to be about. So having that opportunity to do whatever I need. Sometimes I meditate every day, a gratitude journal. There's some certain key, you know, like sacred morning to me is about, what do I need right now to fuel my, to nourish myself, nurture myself, or fuel myself. Sometimes it's crocheting in the hammock in the morning. Or so I think, yeah, that's really important around, what is your schedule and how do you, what are the things that you need to be able to maintain a great mindset throughout the day and honor yourself, be kind to yourself. I think that's one of the most important things, you know, as an entrepreneur, we put too much pressure on ourselves, again, especially as women. And then Ness has some other things that she does as well.
Absolutely. And I think it brings out that that's a great thing about us doing business together, is that we do have differences and we really respect each other and challenge each other. So public holidays, we have public holidays off, and we like at both, for both of us, we have to say to the other one, it's a public holiday, don't do anything, I've got this. So that's been, you know, sole entrepreneur, sometimes you go, oh, it's weekends, it's public holiday. That's fine, I'll just do this then. But we've made a conscious choice to walk our talk and, you know, take birthdays off and things like that. And I think for me, a key defining moment around how you do business and how you do life is way back when I started my other business and my kids were in primary school and I was just, you know, I worked all the time because you know, I was studying or working or, you know, trying to manage kids and all that kind of stuff. And I remember it was school holidays, sitting at my computer, and my daughter comes up and she's going, mom, you know how you get really like, oh, go away.
I'm right there, babe. I'm right there.
And I'm typing away, listening while I'm typing, not paying in, not looking half at her listening. Or anything. Half listening. You just little voice, you know, she might have been in grade five or something, and she said to me, "Mum, if Cameron, which is my son, or I or Nan died, would you go take white time off work to go to our funeral?"
Oh my God.
We stopped typing. And I'm like, "Oh, feedback. And I went, "Yes, of course I would, darling." And she's like, "Would you take time off if the cat died?" You know, just, and it just bolted. It was like a lightning bolt to say, "You aren't managing this very well. Prioritize time with the kids when they're here," because I had shared care once, 1 week about, and then I can choose what I do in the other week. And I think from that moment on, it's like I have weekends off, I have a cutoff time, and I set boundaries. My clients know that they can text me at night, but I won't respond till business hours. They can send me an email on the weekend, but they don't get an email back till Monday morning. So it's little things like that and moments like that that I think we go, you know what, we can actually create businesses that work for us, because I was learning from mentors that didn't have kids and could do all the hours, and I thought I had to be like them. That's how I should be. If I want to have a really successful business, I should be up till midnight doing this and doing that.
Because the hustle is no good, guys. The hustle will burn you out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I think in pockets of time like that, she gave me a beautiful gift, because she was gutsy to say it, and it shifted so much for me, and I'm glad it happened at the beginning of my journey and not when I got to burnout level. So we have really big drivers around this whole, if we can make money, manage money and prioritize life, you know, that's a pretty amazing business.
And that's a beautiful life. That's a fulfilling life. And we have this expectation that we're going to do the things. We're going to go to uni. We're going to get a job. We're going to do this. We're going to have kids. And then we get to the other end and then go, why don't I feel fulfilled?
Yeah.
So true.
I think as well, like, even for those women who are listening who don't have kids, also you still don't have to work till midnight. Like, that's the other thing around this, because the expectations, you know, that we have, whatever our individual situation is, more than, like, now is the time more than ever that we can absolutely create the businesses that are a win-win. They're a win for us. They're a win for, you know, the people around us, our clients, the world. But don't fall into those preconceived perceptions of what is expected. Yeah.
I love it. So what does a great day in the office look like for you? Nikki starts at 10, obs, but, you know. I love it.
It's the best. It's so good. The amount of stuff, yeah. Ness, over to you.
Okay. So for me, well, it's around connecting. This is what Nikki and I do. Like she was saying, we've seen each other once in 18 months and yet we've created this whole business.
Because my business bestie, I've actually never met in real life. Oh, I have no idea how tall they are.
Yeah. So a great day in business for me is connecting with others. So that could be, you know, Nikki and I have been creative because we've started this business this year, so everything's new. So it brings out this beautiful opportunity to create. And I love bouncing off ideas with her and creating with her. So that's just been something that I am loving about being in partnership rather than being solo operator. But it's also around, you know, the days that we run our workshops with women that we work with, and even the one-on-one, it just energizes me and I love it. Because it's bringing together all that creativity and then seeing the impact it has. But I'm also a bit of an introvert. So got to say, love the days where I can just, well, we joke on Mondays, we don't do makeup, but now I've joined a networking group on a Monday. So I kind of do have to dress outside of tracksuit pants.
Oh, from here up.
Yeah. That's right. So I love days where I can just be in that background mode and really shut off the world and be, you know, like I do zero updates twice a month. It's just, I love that, you know, it just gives me time just to dive in. I know I'm weird. Dive into.
You got to love your money, Nikki. You got to love your money.
Yes, I know. I love my money.
So I love studying and I love reading. So there's those elements, like I need both, and I know that about me. I need, and if I do the outward stuff, like I'm a bit of an extrovert, but then I need to just introvert back into what energizes me, which is that behind the scenes. So I love that balance between the two, but Nick and I are very different. So you go for what your days are like, your ideal.
My ideal. But I think also what's really important in that is for us to look at how do we manage our energy and design a day around that, which is why I have my 10 a.m. starts, which I love, because then I tend to have a bit more stamina like throughout the day. And, you know, it's a mixture of some one-on-one coaching. We've got workshops. We run strategy days. So time with, very similar in the connection piece, time with people. Mondays, no makeup, whatever clothes you want, best thing ever. Fridays, I like to bookend it, if possible, have a bit of an early finish. Wow, does it even seem like I work that much? I do, though. I'm very productive. But here's the other thing. When you schedule your time around things, you are more productive with the time that you have. And something that I've really had to work on, and Ness does know this as well, around, you know, I had a career in corporate before I went into my own business. So working hard and working long hours is a story that I know a lot of people would resonate with. And, you know, it's not, we're not working optimally. You know, even in corporate, I realized I had to have a rule for myself to go, I can't work late 2 days in a row. If I do it on a Monday, I can't on Tuesday, because otherwise I'm wrecked on a Wednesday. So that's even a good solution for people who are just, you know, maybe they're doing a side hustle as well as working a job. And reality is you've got to do some longer hours. So when we talk about hustle, yes, I agree. Hustle doesn't get you where you need to go. But in the early days, we do need to bring a little bit of that hustle, because that's what gets us going. That's what. And then there's a pivot point where if we keep doing that, we end up burnt out. We end up having our kids say these heartbreaking things to us. I've experienced burnout twice in corporate, so I get what that's like. So it's really about probably also looking at what you've learned and then designing, you know, your day, your week around that, so that you're being more productive, which is what I've found with having these limitations of I can have an early mark on a Friday, even if I've started at 10, but I got to get these things done. And if I get it done, I'm good. So, yeah.
With there's nothing as efficient, I reckon, as a woman in business, especially mums, because we are just time management ninjas.
Yeah.
And I think that efficiency, like I just have started recently again doing Pomodoro method.
Oh, we'd use that. I love it.
And so I'm like, because I've just, you know, got this like large body of work that I need to do. So I've effectively halved my business hours. So I'm like, boom, done. Like I'm just.
And
you find what works for you. And as you said, you honor your energy. Like I'm an early morning person. Don't ask me to work after sort of six, because I am cactus.
Yeah.
But 5 a.m., sure. But you've got to know those rhythms. And just because people tell you you should be starting at 5 a.m., that doesn't work for you.
Oh, so true. And, you know, it's taken so long to realize that. 25 whole years. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that was a joke. It didn't land.
I got it. Something was said. You're slow. Oh, gosh. This is joke. Sorry. So what tools do you use, other than Zoom, obviously, to help you be super productive in your business?
Yeah, we use so many tools. Pomodoro time, I would add that as a tool, because it is just excellent way. We use Asana for our task management system, which we just could not live without. We've got our like calendar, our emails, our Outlook. We've got, I'm having a blank, Ness. What else do we use? We use so many, I can't remember them.
Just exactly. If you're listening or watching and don't know what Pomodoro time is, I want to close the loop for you. It's where you set a timer for 25 minutes and you have no distractions. So no emails, no phone, nothing. And you just focus on the one task for 25 minutes and then you have a 5 minute break and you can go again. And it's just really focused, amazing time. So Pomodoro, definitely we teach our clients that. We use ActiveCampaign and as Nikki said, I don't think we would be in business for getting anything done without Asana, because that's our way to communicate with each other. And I think having the two of us, we needed to get something that we could both be on. We actually use ActiveCampaign not just as an email provider, but our CRM.
So
that is brilliant, because obviously there's two of us, we want to be across stuff with our clients, and it's a really good way for us to keep up to date. But we, of course, like you, Jane, love products like Canva. Like we couldn't, who cannot, I don't know anyone who doesn't love Canva.
I'm a designer and I still use Canva. Like it is amazing.
I know. So that is just like, thank God. And we just discovered this week that we can do our, instead of PowerPoint, we can use Canva because it does the
thing. And your link in bio from Instagram, mini website.
Yes.
Go to my Instagram bio. You can have a look at mine. It's fun. Get some free templates. Yeah. I'm kidding.
I will definitely.
So, and then for social media, we use Plan, which again, it's good for us. You know, we're kind of finding tools that perhaps in the past I kind of dabbled in, but I don't know, sometimes when you work for yourself, it's all in your brain. But it's certainly now getting it out of my brain. And this is a tip to any solo business operators, getting it out of your brain and using these apps that are there to help you is a really cool way of giving yourself space to then get on with other stuff, because especially as your business grows, you can't hold everything there. Just that's what wakes you up at 3 a.m. go, oh, I've got to send that email. So if you can find the tool that works for you, and of course, you know, I'm going to throw in there as money management focus, there's some apps that you can use to track and all that kind of stuff, because I'm a big believer in tracking your income coming in, all the abundance that comes your way in income and value daily, and really being on top of things. So Xero obviously is sort of just an awesome product for keeping on top of your business expenses and stuff like that. But yeah, I think we're pretty tech savvy.
Yeah, we are. Oh, QR codes are a good one as well. So thinking about how you can be creative with your marketing. But I also just want to add to that, if you are a solo business owner, you know, think about, because again, I know what it's like. It's like, oh, it's in my head. I can't, it's all good. But find then a way to be accountable. So it might be like what Ness and I did in the early days. We're like, we both need this accountability piece. And then we would have monthly meetings, monthly sales meetings, even though we were presenting on our own separate businesses, or that's where you find like a community, a mastermind, whatever it might be. It's really important that, you know, you don't let yourself off the hook for not doing these things, because how you're setting this up will help you so much in the future. And that includes, I'm going to just pick up what Ness said around the CRM. So a sales CRM, you don't need a fancy CRM, you know, software, you know, Salesforce, whatever it might be. If you're a solo business owner, use an Excel spreadsheet, like have something where you're tracking your conversations with clients, your follow-ups, you know, that kind of stuff. Doesn't have to be fancy schmancy, just as long as there's something in place.
And setting KPIs for yourself, like,
yes, definitely.
Really sort of low-key ways to go, I'm gonna do this thing and I'm gonna get it done by this date, because you can sort of vague out on your goals when you work for yourself, and just sort of, as you said, let yourself off the hook a bit. And but you know 42% more likely to achieve a goal if you write it down, and what is it, 80-something percent more likely to achieve it if you share it with someone. So, you know, the mastermind, the finding the group that works for you. So I love that. And I'm got to be a bit stricter with myself. But
what that helps with is, you know, when we talk about Pomodoro time, when you know what you want to achieve, it's easy then to sort of go, right, I'm going to focus on this. So they all back together, and they help that accountability, because you're setting dates and time frames rather than the loose, let's get it next week. I don't feel like it.
You know, I now assign tasks by the number of POMs. I'm like, that's going to take three, that's two. Yeah. And then you look at it and go, oh my God, that's only one day's worth. Like, what have I been doing?
Yeah,
that's so good. I've got another suggestion to add. This is a good focus. Another thing that we do is we set ourselves top three priorities for the week. So, you know, if all of a sudden the kids were home sick from school and you couldn't do any work, or what are the three things that you just still need to focus on to get done? And we align it with the three key areas we talked about. So what's the one most important thing around business growth, sales, making money, you know, that kind of stuff? What's the one number important thing around managing our money? And then what's the number one thing around prioritized life? So that way we believe that the focus needs to be equally across all three. Not one is more important than the other. When they all come together and they're all in focus, that's where we create a business by design.
Love it. And that's where you get that fulfillment.
Yeah.
That's what we're all seeking all the time. So a question I always ask, and you can answer it individually if you like, or together, I don't know. One of the things that affects entrepreneurs across the world is imposter syndrome. So what are your methods that either that you use or you use with your clients, because you're in a unique position to talk about your clients, to help them overcome the bad days in business, the imposter syndrome, which is inevitable, I would say. So please share.
You go, Nick.
So it's so true. Imposter syndrome, I think what's really important about this first up is that we all feel it. No, nobody gets away. And there's that whole little inner critic that pops up. And the inner critic is there to actually keep us safe. So sometimes understanding that allows us to go, oh, okay, hi, there you are.
You know,
thanks for keeping me safe. Because when we think about it, when we're uncomfortable, when we're about to step out of our comfort zone, we get a physical reaction as the same as if we were in physical danger. So it's that part of our brain that's saying danger, danger, you know, the heart's pumping, whatever it might be. And then the inner critic tears us down basically so that we, you know, it stops us from moving forward. So it's good to understand a little bit about why that's happening. And we don't want to get angry. It's like a little kid that's like tugging on the leg of your skirt or your pants. We don't want to drop everything every time it pops its little voice up, but we don't want to get angry because it'll just get louder either way. So sometimes it's about what are we telling ourselves, and sometimes it's hard to be overly positive. You know, if imposter syndrome is full out kicking in, it's hard then to go, oh, but everything's all lovely and fine. Like there's the whole fake positivity. So sometimes being neutral around that is a good thing. Thanks, I've got this. Thanks for your contribution. And it's finding a way to keep moving forward regardless. It's feeling the fear and doing it anyway. We will never, ever, ever be fearless. We will always have fear, thank goodness, because that's what keeps us safe. It's about feeling the fear and moving. Good book, by the way, Susan Jeffers, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway, classic from the 80s. So it's thinking, what do I need to do to tap into and keep moving forward? So it could be things, and I think, Jane, you talked about this in one of your previous podcasts around reminding yourself of what raving fans or clients have said before. Like, how do you tap into getting out of your own space into, hang on a second, remember Mary, remember Fee, she had a great feedback for us, and, you know, finding ways external to remind you to bring that internal validation. Be very aware of what goes in our mind and don't have unrealistic expectations. Inner critic's going to be there. Imposter syndrome's going to be there. Surround yourself with good people. Have a community, and then stay focused. If you've got a good plan, you can go, cool, I noticed that. Right, what's the next thing I need to do? I think that I could talk about this forever, but I better leave something for Ness to say. So, thank you.
I love everything you've said, and I think that, you know, it's so valuable to share that with people, because, you know, I think you can either go way inward, and the more closed off we are to the external world, and the more we focus on us and our own problem, I think it then feels bigger and bigger and bigger. So one of the things that helps me is, like Nikki said, you acknowledge it's there. It's just, rather than, and in the past I'd try to push it away, I'd be scared of it. I'd be like, oh, you know, and then I'd let it continue this conversation, just like your example about the little kid, like tell a kid to go away and they're just like, mom, 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 mom. So it feels a bit like that. So acknowledging it's there, pay attention to it. And then what's helped me in the past is to just have that thought in my head that says, okay, right now you're focusing on you. And what would be different if you focused on other people? So imposter syndrome is usually where we want to be invisible and shrink back because we don't think we're good enough, or perhaps people won't like us or something like that. And I often think about, you know, there could be just one person that you're going to make a difference for today if you say that thing or if you do that thing. And at times where I've stretched out of my comfort zone, I think when I started my last business, I was sending thank you cards for every catch-up I did over coffee. Remember those days when we did coffees with people face-to-face?
You left the house?
And I had there was a guy I'd met, and so my cards were a little bit female-y. I sort of like had flowers on them and stuff, and I thought, no, it's part of my so this is my thing. It's part of my system. It's my structure. It's what I do. So send the cards. So I had two guys I'd seen in a week, and I sent them the cards and just like posted them, and kind of went ah. Oh. And then the next time I spoke to one of them, he just said to me, thank you so much for sending me that card, because I was having a really bad day and it just brightened my day. And I just went, oh my God. So I was not going to do it because I felt like he might think I was an idiot. And I did it, and he gave me that feedback, and it just was a little reminder, this just keep going. If you've got a pure intention and you can help others, just keep going. And then the other guy I'd send it to, I'd gone to his office maybe a month later, and it was still stuck. He never said anything about it, but he had it pinned up on his little pin board near his computer. Aww. And I think it's just that coming back to, it's not about us. Like, we make it about us, but if we can step out of that and find a way to go, how can I help one person today? So that guy's feedback around, you made my day, I was having a really bad day, I never changed that strategy after that because I felt uncomfortable. So that for me is a great tip. I'm so fortunate because in the last, you know, since we've developed business together and I'm really stepping into this space around money management and money mindset, that I have a wonderful coach when I forget that, because sometimes even we can be the best at what we do, but we forget because we're not great at coaching ourselves or whatever. I've got Nikki there to be able to kind of guide me back onto the path and remind me of things like, you know, the testimonials and the work that we're doing and what we're wanting to achieve into the future. So playing small now is not going to help us reach the amount of people that we want to reach and impact the amount of impact we want.
And that's talking about the legacy now, create it now, because playing small is not going to create a legacy.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think in that, you know, what I've learned too is you've got to open up to people. You know, if you have an inner circle of people that you trust who have your back and challenge you, that's so important, because if you just keep that to yourself and say, and I never tell Nikki the days that I'm feeling that impostery, I'm back into that cycle of it's just all about me. So speaking up can take a lot of courage to say to someone, I'm actually feeling like a bit crap today, and I just, and having someone else there who can just talk you out of that or help you see what it is, you know, you want to achieve, your vision and what impact you want to have. So having some people around you that are going to help you do that, I think, is really important. You can't do it all on your own, even the best of us, you know, trying to. Sometimes you just need that external tap on the shoulder to say, hey, keep going.
I believe in you. I love it.
Yeah.
So you talk about obviously your community of clients. So how do you maintain your sense of community while working in effectively isolation, but you've got the two of you, B2.
Yeah. Well, I think we both had experience of being solo operators as well for such a long time. And, you know, that for me, community is really important. I have a tendency to be really good at maintaining contact with people. So I prefer fewer but longer term relationships, so friendships and all that kind of stuff. So when I'm connecting with other women in business, for example, I like the smaller get to know you and know you well. So things for me that work well is the networking groups, and COVID's been great for that. I don't know for you, Jane, because we're both sort of out in regional and there's not much going on locally. So being able to tap into Zoom and actually network with people anywhere across Australia has been one of the great blessings, and for Nikki and I to start this business. So it's around pushing yourself out of your comfort zone, getting out there and meeting people. It always, for me, fills my cup, even though the days that I feel a bit awkward about it. And we really wanted to create a community in B2. That was just something that was big for both of us. So we started out a couple of months ago doing what we call the B2 bar. We open it up on a Friday once a month. It's a virtual catch up, and it is just have a beverage at the end of the end of a Friday and a chat, and we just had some beautiful chats and connected people. And I think that we, where it doesn't exist, create it. And that's something that I've learned over the years, is if you feel lonely in business, get out there and do something about it. Find people who are like-minded, who want to do things like that, because there will be, people love it. People love coming together. We've had people, I think the advantage of Nikki there up in Queensland and me here in Victoria, we've had, I think our last call, Victoria, Queensland, Sydney, you know, just like we would never, ever connect with these people otherwise. So making sure that you've got the opportunity just to expand beyond just working on your own. Because again, when you've got people around you, they can pick up things like that mood and can support you through that or just cheer you up. Like I get so much energy from our Monday catch-ups because, you know, sometimes you sort of start the week and I don't know about you, but oh, it's Monday, okay, got to get into it, warm up. But Nikki's energy is so contagious and I get so reinvigorated around what we're achieving and what we're doing. So I love our Monday catch-ups, particularly to get into the swing of things for the week.
Love it. And I think we're making more of an effort in COVID to attend these virtual catch-ups. Yeah. I've got a couple of communities, a mastermind and then a women's group that I actually attend the Zooms, which I didn't used to because I was always too busy, and now I'm like, well,
yeah. Sometimes it's just nice to just grab that wine on a Friday afternoon and
hello humans. So Nikki, up there, obviously you've got a bit more freedom.
Yeah, it's we do have a bit more freedom. It's interesting because I mean I'm sorry to say this, ladies, but I do have a networking event tomorrow in person.
Show off.
In saying that, I haven't been to that many in person. One, I think this year, because it's still a little bit sort of chaotic. And I think the thing is, the online component is so convenient for so many people. So I think that even though there is the opportunity to get together face to face, and that's certainly happening in different areas, it's also about maximizing the opportunity for online, which gives us no geographical boundary. But it comes back to, again, for the individual, what's their sort of preference and how do they fill their cup? And I think where we'll end up is hopefully a combination, because I love the online component as well. I think the other thing to add to this are things like is there a Facebook group or community? Or I know with our clients, we have we all do top three, in our Facebook group. So that's another way to connect. Or we talked about Pomodoro before. We've done Pomodoro together, just us or with clients. And I encourage other clients to do this, where you come together, you're on the screen together, you just mute out and do your 25 minutes work and then come back. So I love what Ness said as well around, if you're feeling lonely, find a way to fill that gap. There's so many things that we can do. Some of my clients, you know, they're really sales focused. They'll come into the virtual room, go on mute, and then bang out a bunch of sales calls and do an hour of power, or just, yeah, have some fun with it, get creative. And geography is not a barrier anymore. That's definitely
not at all. We're so used to it.
Thinking that, it's an excuse. Yeah. Yeah. Gotta get rid of that.
Yeah. Close that down. Shut that down. So what's your why? What keeps you motivated? I love this question.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful question and it's so important. And I think what's really great about Ness and I is we have that core, which is around breaking cycles for women in business and sales with money. But our reasons behind that are quite personally driven. I feel it when I talk about it, actually, like I'm feeling for me, it's about when I think about my family. So the women in my family, my grandmother came over to Australia, fled the Hungarian Revolution in 56. And I remember hearing her talk about she could not rent an apartment because she didn't have a man. She didn't have a husband. She fled without her husband. And then I think about my mum, who's so entrepreneurial spirit and had so many businesses. And they were successful in their own right, but they were limited to a certain extent because she didn't have a community of like-minded businesswomen. And I almost feel like the baton has been passed to me now, because I don't know if you've thought of this, but it is our mothers and our grandmothers that are the first generation of women to actually earn their own money. Yeah. So what comes with that is we need to learn how to step into this power and this opportunity, because, you know, the systemic beliefs and systems that are set up go so much deeper and beyond what we can even see. So even though we three here and those beautiful listeners and people that are watching, you know, we are these empowered, awesome business women, but we still have to learn how to step into that power and how to really become those wealthy women, talk about money, embrace sales, embrace the art and the heart of sales. So yeah, I feel it in my being, because I feel like we're doing this for all the women that have come before. That's my why.
I've got goosebumps.
That's just amazing. Yeah.
I don't know how to follow that. What I will say is, you know, that we've done a lot of kind of deep soul searching around this, because one of the benefits of being able to create a business over the last, you know, all of last year, having weekly catch-ups and talking about what is it we want to create, you know, like, you know, what's important to you and what was important to me. And this breaking cycles piece is where we combine really strongly. It's about getting away from the shoulds and empowering women to be able to run amazing businesses, because we know, and I know personally, women with money do good things. Like, we want to support others. We want to be able to give to charities and donate to causes close to our hearts. So I think that, you know, for me, it's around an empowerment piece. You know, I was married for a period of time, and as I alluded to earlier, I had a lot of challenges after I got divorced, because my ex-husband was quite controlling and wanted to, like, press the bruise around what was important to me, which was trying to be financially secure. And you don't have to have gone through that situation, but I think what it's taught me is teach my children how to manage their money while they're young, so they're never in a position to give their power away to somebody else. And then, you know, teach women to break the cycle of shame of talking about money, to be able to feel like no matter what happens in their life, they're knowledgeable, they're smart, and they're making decisions for themselves, whether that's with their partner or on their own as a single person. It's just like, we have our future destiny in our reach. And it matters so much, because you just don't know what life's going to throw you. And being able to really feel safe and secure and comfortable within yourself, that anything can happen externally and you've got your own back on this, and that goes for anything within business and outside of business, is so important. And I guess I'm now sort of at that age where, you know, I've got maybe 10 years to go till I want to retire, and it's just really coming up for me that, you know, no one else is going to come along and rescue, and I don't want to be on a pension. So it's up to me to create it, and that excites me. And I think that, you know, if I can share that with other women and help them be safe and secure and set an amazing wealth trajectory, I think that's fabulous. And I'm living that through, my daughter's not that interested, she's about 17, but my son, we're studying at the moment together. We're doing a financial adulting plan with Mel Brown. So he's coming over. Sunday afternoons is like a 4-hour study marathon where we watch that. And we're also doing a property investment course through Julie Crockett. And he's 19, and he's learning how to invest in property. He's learning how to manage his money, set his own financial plan for the next 5 years, 10 years. And that lights me up. So it's not just about, you know, doing it for me, but it's about the people around me and seeing them become empowered and know that they'll be okay. Like, if he learns these skills now, and I said, go off and live your life and have fun, but know how to invest when you're ready to invest and build a portfolio. And for somebody who, he didn't have a vision in high school around what he wanted to do, to see him really, you know, passionate about this and hear his money stories, which has been quite eye-opening. I'm like, what did I teach you? What did I do? And what he's learned has been, yeah, just to see that in my own family and know that that's possible for so many others. And then women can teach their children, and, you know, it just goes on. So the ripple effect is huge, and that's
we are the generation that is going to change it for our entire families for the rest of time.
100%.
this is something I've only come to grasp the magnitude of, with the help actually of my financial advisor, in the last sort of 12 months, and going, wow, okay, right, I'm setting myself up, setting my kids up. In turn, I'm setting up every generation that comes after us. And that's big.
100%. That's a huge impact. So I think that, you know, one of the unique things that Nikki and I have to bring to the world coming together is our differences and yet our similarities around our passions. So our age differences, our differences in, you know, kids and dogs and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, there's so much that we bring, and yet, you know, what our vision is and what we really want to achieve in this business is so strong. So
shared vision. Yeah, I love it.
Because I also just want to add to that as well around it's again that legacy, that ripple. And again, if any women out there are listening and they don't have kids, you can impact those next generations just in the same way, which is something that I had to really work on and realize once I'd made the decision not to have children. It was kind of like, but what about my legacy in that way? And so I really want to get the message out there that we women as a collective, we are impacting the generations to come. Never, ever, ever underestimate the impact that you are making, whether that's through your own children, through other children, through the people that you meet, through, you know, sharing your wisdom, your uniqueness through other mothers. You know, that's, I think that's a really important message to share as well.
Because every woman that you work with, that's amplifying your impact. I love it. Amazing. Yeah. Oh, okay. I got goosebumps again. What are your tips for all the smart women in business across the world?
Oh, tips.
Top tips.
Let's like bounce a couple off.
Let's workshop.
Okay. So workshop. I think the first one that comes up for me is definitely don't be led by how you should. It's been a theme from today. How you should be doing business, how you should be bloody living your life. You know, let's just put it out there, particularly, you know, some of the themes that are coming up. That's my first. Second one would be around sales. Without sales, your business is a hobby. So if you're not getting the income, the revenue, the sales, the profitability, like the money coming in that you need, I'm sorry to tell you, but your business is a hobby. So really look at what are you doing to set up for success, for business growth. And if you're in a place where it's coming in and word of mouth, that's all wonderful, but plan ahead for when that stops. So really don't just get caught up in the excitement of it all coming in. They're my top two.
Next. Excellent. I'll add to that. So surround yourself by amazing women, because together we are smarter and stronger. Yeah. So find your posse. And there's so many different places you can go to find that. So that should be like easy to do. It might be Goldilocksy till you get the one that fits the right, that's the most comfy, but definitely do that, because that will make a big difference for you. And of course, I've got to go money and find a system that works for you, because we're all so unique and different. Don't just assume that someone else's system is going to be the thing you have to follow, because it comes back to what Nikki said, you should be doing it this way. So if your head's buried in the sand, you need to get it out, but you've got to find a system that's easy to use and that works for you, that you follow. So just make sure, I think it's with anything in business, but particularly when it comes to you managing money, because if you can nail that in business and life, you can set yourself up.
Amazing. So thank you so much for your time. How can listeners find out more about you and working with you two amazing women?
So they can follow us on socials, of course, Nikki and Ness _B2. Check out, we're working on a whole bunch of really cool freebies and resources around, you know, Ultimate Business Guide for Women in Business, specific cool things coming out from managing money and sales. So check out our website, businesstogether.com.au. Lots of exciting things happening there.
Thanks, Nikki and Ness, and I'll put all the notes, all the links in the show notes. Thank you so much for your time today. It's been amazing.
Thank you. This has been amazing. Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Women in Business podcast. If you'd like access to the show notes, please visit my website, janemackaycommunications.com.au/blog. If you've enjoyed this episode and would like to hear more, please don't forget to subscribe. Until next time, keep on being a smart woman in business.